Well, we're down to a handful of games left in the WNBA. Even with that being said, Asia Wilson showing the why she's the best player in the WNBA. Angel Reese continuing to make headlines with double-doubles. And Caitlin Clark, what can be said? The impact that she has had on the Indiana Fever. This team is going to make the playoffs, and this team might win 20 games. Let's recap the weekend that was in the WNBA.
Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Good day, good people. How are y'all doing? I know it's Tuesday. I hope y'all got the message. Programming note was, due to some scheduling conflict at the job, I had to postpone it to today instead of doing it yesterday. But hey, I'm here. The Playmakers in the building. We are in the month of September. September 3rd is the date. We are getting ready for a playoff. So I think we got about 8-7 games left in the WNBA, and then we talking playoffs. So let's get hot and ready, even though we got football season started. College football season officially got started last weekend. And then we got NFL kicking off Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, then to Monday. So a lot of sports going on right now, including the U.S. Open going on right now. So there's a lot of sports going on. So you can find you some sports to watch throughout the week, throughout the month. But we are here to talk basketball. We're here to talk WNBA. And Asia Wilson showing why she is the queen of the WNBA. Then you have the rookies of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, who are just continue to make milestones happen left and right, especially that during Caitlin Clark and her impact on the Indiana Fever. I don't think people understand what is happening with the Indiana Fever with the addition of Caitlin Clark. We'll talk about it. But first and foremost, we got to go around the hardwood. And going around the hardwood, still ventures Terrence Achilles to miss another Gonzaga season. Gonzaga standout still virtually will miss his second consecutive season due to injury after he tore his Achilles tendon back on August 27. The school had announced it last week. Ventures, he was averaging 15.3 points per game, connected on 37% from his three-point attempts at East Washington during the 2022-2023 season. He led the Eagles to the Big Sky regular season crown. The six-foot-seven wing transferred to Gonzaga last season where he had an injury with the ACL injury in his right knee. Now he has torn his Achilles in his left foot. So hopefully we can get you back right, get you healthy, and get you back on the court, because that is those two debilitating injuries for you, sir. And we just pray that you have a speedy recovery, a full recovery, and then we can see you on the court doing what you do. We want to see you in Gonzaga. We want to see you under Mark Few and how you play in his system. But first and foremost, your health and safety is first and foremost. So, Ventures, hope to see you back on the court soon, sir. But you get healthy. Okay. Now let's talk some NBA. All right. Because we see some players get paid. First off, the reigning champions, the Boston Celtics, they are bringing in Lonnie Walker IV on a 1-year deal. That's adding another guard, shooting guard to the team, to the roster. They are going deep when it comes to wings and guards right about now. So I want to see how Lonnie Walker fits in with the Boston Celtics, the reigning champions. They didn't really lose much. You know, you still got Derrick Wright, Jrue Holiday, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both got paydays. So, especially Jason Tatum before winning the gold medal. You still got Kristaps Porzingis. You still got Al Horford. You still got Peyton Pritchard off the bench. So, they are building something in Boston. After getting ready to hang up banner number 19, I believe, 18 or 19. Can't remember the number. But it's one more than the Lakers. So they are trying to improve on their roster, a championship roster, that is, to continue to win more championships. So nice deal for Lonnie Walker to be with the champs. We're going to head back to college because this is very interesting here. SEC starts availability reports for football, basketball, and baseball. This came out on August 29th. SEC schools will provide public records on player availability for conference grades in football, men's and women's basketball, and baseball starting this season. Starting with the football season, it will flow into basketball season and into baseball season. So this is already started because football season is already in play. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said the new policy is designed to curtail individuals who might try to seek information on injuries and suspensions from student athletes for gambling purposes. Stanky went on to say, quote, "This availability reporting policy is intended to reduce pressure from outside entities seeking participation information and represents a committee of our 16 institutions to provide enhanced transparency to support efforts to protect our student athletes and the integrity of competition," close quote. Smart thing to do. Smart thing to do before a game day. Put the reports out. Well, in football, they have up to 90 minutes, which is an hour and a half before a kickoff to do so. And basketball, it says basketball and baseball availability reports will be filled out with the SEC office the night before contests with an additional update on game day. And they'll use the normal terms, you know, of available, probable, questionable, about, for, out, stuff like that. This is a great thing to do. That way people will know ahead of time who's in, who's out, and they can do what they want to do with the information. But everybody will know at the same time. Well, everybody should know at the same time, but it will be out there for everybody to know at the same time. Who's playing, who's not, what's the issue, what's going on, and then people can do it from there, especially all these gamblers out here who want to know which way they need to swing their bet on. So it's going to be interesting to see. They're doing it in football season. They will transition into basketball season. However, if schools fail to abide by the new rules, they will face potential penalties ranging from $25,000 for the first offense, $100,000 for the third and further incidents. There are a maximum penalty of $15,000 to $25,000 in the other sports that are subject to the rule. So, y'all better be on your grind. You coaches, you GMs, ADs. Y'all better be on your grind because they will fine you up to $100,000 if you don't comply with this rule. Okay? So, let's be on it. If you're in the SEC. Speaking of college basketball, let's go over to something that's here. Final Four to return to Atlanta, Georgia in 2031 after 2022 cancellation. The Final Four is returning to Atlanta after the pandemic nixed the city's previous bid 4 years ago. The NCAA announced Thursday that Atlanta would be the site for the 2031 Final Four, its first time hosting since the 2013 bracket, and the sixth time the city has been awarded the event. We're talking 07, 02, 1977. Yeah. Atlanta was slated to host the 2022 Final Four, but COVID-19 pandemic led to the cancellation early in that year of all major sports, including March Madness, 2 weeks before the tournament was set to start. This upcoming March Madness tournament in 2025 will be in San Antonio. It'll be in Indianapolis in 2026 and 2029, Detroit in 2027, Las Vegas in 2028, and North Texas in 2030. I'm looking to see him somewhere, Dallas, Texas, maybe. I could be wrong, but North Texas. So the ATL is getting the Final Four in 7 years from now. The Final Four will be back in the ATL. Now, some big news from the NBA. Steph Curry signed a 1 year, $62.6 million extension. The extension is worth $62.6 million. And that will keep Curry on a contract with the Golden State Warriors through the 2026-2027 season. Curry has become the fourth NBA player, along with LeBron James, Paul George, and Kevin Durant, to surpass $500 million in career earnings. That is crazy. That's crazy. Curry had 2 years remaining on his four-year, $215.4 million contract he signed back in August 2021. He was eligible to sign only a one-year extension this offseason due to the NBA's over 30 rule, which prevents teams from offering contracts of 4 years or more to players who are or will be 30 years old doing that deal. So when his deal ends in 2027, he'll be 39. So yeah, based on that rule, it is what it is. But Steph Curry, adding another year. So he was going with 2 years left. Now he has 3 years left. So 2027 is the final year of Steph Curry in Golden State as of now. So you have 3 years, Golden State, 3 years with the chef. And thank you, Chef Curry, for what you did out in Paris, bringing home a gold medal with the outstanding play that you put on display for us out in France. From Steph Curry to TJ McConnell agrees to a four-year, $45 million extension with the Indiana Pacers. Indiana Pacers guard has agreed on a four-year, $45 million contract extension that would take him through the 2028-2029 season. McConnell has been under contract for $9.3 million for the 2024-2025 season, and now it's tied to the Pacers for 5 years and $54 million. Key piece for the Indiana Pacers, keeping the core around. So you still got Tyrese Haliburton. You keeping Pascal Siakam, Andrew Nembhard, and Obi Toppin. So you're keeping your crew together, which is a smart move by the Indiana Pacers, especially a team that just went to the Eastern Conference Finals before they got swept by the Boston Celtics, who once again are the reigning defending NBA champions. I like what they're doing. Good job, TJ McConnell. Congratulations on a four-year, $45 million contract extension. And then we're not done with contract extension, because Zubac's three-year, $58.6 million extension with the Los Angeles Clippers. Los Angeles Clippers center Ivy Zubac has agreed to a three-year, $58.6 million contract extension, tying him to the franchise for $70 million through the 2027-2028 season. Excuse me. Zubac was signed a max deal available to him for three seasons under the current NBA collective bargaining agreement. Zubac averaged a career high of 11.7 points and 9.2 rebounds in for the 51 win Clippers last season, even though they was ousted by the Dallas Mavericks early in the playoffs. But hey, you got a new arena. You still got Kawhi Leonard. You still got James Harden. You traded Russell Westbrook away. You let Paul George walk to Philly. No, other than that, keeping Zubac's not bad. You still got Terrence Mann. We'll see what you do in your new arena. And you're keeping a nice core together here. But is that core enough to do anything in the West? That's the question. That's really the question. And to close out our Around the Heart, we'll say we're going to get a bit serious here. Let's go to the women's college ranks here. South Carolina's Watkins arrested, faces assault kidnap charges. South Carolina women's basketball standout, Alicia Watkins was arrested and charged with first-degree assault and battery and kidnapping following the incident Saturday on the school's campus, court records show. Citing a warrant issued by the University of South Carolina Police, it was reported that the incident occurred at the Student Housing Center. Watkins, per warrant, allegedly assaulting the individual by forcibly grabbing her by her face, pulling her by the arm, pushing her. Watkins also allegedly picked the individual up and carried her against her will, then ultimately grabbing the victim's head and forcing her to walk down the hallway, thus controlling the woman's movement while preventing her from leaving. The individual allegedly escaped and pulled the fire alarm and was later treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Wichita County records show that Watkins was released on a $30,000 personal recognition bond and has a court appearance scheduled for October 25th. South Carolina said they are aware of the incident that took place and they are continuing to gather information. Miss Watkins, she's going into her junior year, and this could be problematic. You have not one, not two, but three serious charges against you right now. Assault, that's already up there. Then we talking battery, that's crazy. And we're talking kidnapping. South Carolina going to do their due diligence. They're going to get the information that they need and whatnot. Stein steadily going to find out. She probably going to talk to the young lady. Let her know what to expect, what's going to happen. With all that, you still got to face the NCAA that is still over college athletics. And how the NCAA is, something as serious as this, unlike the whole sign stealing cheating scandal with Michigan in football. But when law enforcement is involved, that is a heightened sense of censoration here. You're going to be suspended. Just for the simple fact that law enforcement had to get involved. And you're the culprit and not the victim. The question is, if all this turns out to be very true and you assaulted a woman, charged battery against this woman, and you kidnapped this woman, you might not see the season this year. Because we're talking three serious charges, not just one. We're talking three. Three serious charges. Assault, battery, and kidnapping. You may not play this season. Or next season. Depending on, because, you know, the NCAA, they like to take their sweet little time to find all the information that they need to find before they can make a decision. And then they spent a ton of time trying to figure out what's the appropriate decision to make. But your season, and matter of fact, you're a junior too, so your season in your college career is up in the air right now, if we're being completely honest about this situation. Your college career is up in the air. You're a junior. You're going into your junior year. So, Ms. Watkins, I hope you understand what you're facing. And I'm pretty sure Don Steady has probably talked to you by now. This happened. This was the 31st, so we're talking Saturday. Pretty sure Don Steady probably could talk to you by now. And probably let you know what most likely is probably going to happen. So, but hope you understand the mistake that you made and what you did. And I hope you learn from it and get better from it, because right now, your collegiate career is no longer in your hands at this moment in time. It's in South Carolina and the NCAA's hands. We're going to take our commercial break here. When we come back, WNBA, a weekend recap where Asia Wilson shows why she's on top. Angel Reese continues to break rebounding barriers, and Caitlin Clark. I don't know what to say about Caitlin Clark. She is just different. She's just different. We'll be back.
The largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant. Weather. Devastating tornadoes ripped through the heart of the United States. Inspiration. A breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy and now begins a future one of matrimony or sports. Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network, in association with Comey Media Incorporated, proudly present The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week in an objective manner and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying. But this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah. They want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Now that we got around the hard word out of the way, got some serious stuff out of the way. Now it's time to amp up the energy a bit here, because now we finna recap the weekend that was in the WNBA. And I don't know what to tell y'all, but these ladies here have been balling their butts off. We are down to the handful of game stuff. So let's begin back on Friday. We had the FIBA go to Chicago and beat Chicago 181. We're going to talk about that game in a minute. The Dallas Wings got an upset win over the Minnesota Lynx, beating them for the first time since the All-Star break. Olympic break, should I say. 94-76, a dominating win for the Dallas Wings there. The Atlanta Dream, they suffered a loss to the defending champ Las Vegas Aces out in Vegas, 83-72. And then the New York Liberty went to Seattle, got a big time, the 98-85 over the Seattle Storm. And then let's talk about it, shall we? Indiana, Chicago, round four, the final matchup of the regular season. And congratulations, Angel Reese had 10 points, 11 boards. It just didn't matter. It did not matter because this lady here, this woman here, Caitlin Clark, she decided in a final matchup with Angel Reese, she's going to go for career high with 31 points. 12 assists, 4 boards. She made 5 threes. And that was just one thing about Caitlin Clark, okay? I'm going to talk more about Caitlin Clark a little later on. But just know, the final matchup between Chicago and Indiana, in Chicago, by the way, because remember, the last time they faced, I was in late June, and Angel Reese had a career night, against the Indiana Fever, helping Chicago get a dub, which made it 2-1 Indiana and Caitlin Clark over Angel Reese in Chicago. This was the one I was waiting on. Remember I told you back then, circle August 30th. That's the one I'm looking for right here. This game right here was going to determine who I felt was going to be rookie of the year, even though I changed my mind right before the All-Star break, Olympic break, and then I've been saying Caitlin Clark ever since then. She solidified it right there. That game on Friday solidified. She is the rookie of the year. I'm sorry. Angel Reese, I love you. I'll root for you. I got to call it 100. I got to keep it a book. Caitlin Clark is the rookie of the year, man. She just is. It's no way around it. It really ain't. The double doubles, the rebounds, all that's good. I love it because she's working hard. But she ain't Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is just different. But I'm going to speak more on Caitlin Clark a little bit. But with the win by the Las Vegas Aces over the Atlanta Dream, not only clinched them data spot, but despite Seattle losing to New York on Friday night, they clinched the spot because the Las Vegas beat Atlanta. So we have 5 teams slated in the playoffs now. And I'll show you the standings at the end of this segment here. But yes, the Vegas Aces, they completed part one of trying to three-peat as champions. They are made it to the next round of the season, the playoffs. And the Seattle Storm, they are back in the playoffs. All right, let's go to August. We had one game in September, the last day of August. We had one game on Saturday. Connecticut Suns had no business like they're supposed to, 96-85 over the Washington Mystics. Washington, saying that 9 wins is not out of it, and I'm going to show you why when I show you the standings. But shout out to them. You know, Maria Marbury, the trade that they made with Chicago right before the All-Star break, the Olympic break, should I say. 21 points, 7 from 13 from the field, 5 from 7 from 3-point range. And Chicago is missing her right now. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Because once you traded your real 3-point shooter, Kennedy Carter's a bucket. Don't get me wrong. Kennedy Carter, she can score from anywhere on the floor. But your true 3-point shooter is in Connecticut. And she helped Connecticut light up Washington in the nation's capital. See, if Marina Marbury was still in Chicago, maybe Chicago would have won a couple of games by now because you had a 3-point shooter. But you traded her to Connecticut, and Connecticut needed a 3-point shooter. And this is 2 games since the Olympic break that she has gave the Suns what they needed. She did it against my New York Liberty a week ago, 2 weeks ago, somewhere like that. when Connecticut desperately needed a win over the New York Liberty because they couldn't have, they have not beaten the New York Liberty in a long time. You bring in Mario Marbury, you get to stretch the flow out, and you obviously you beat the top seeded team in the league, which is the New York Liberty. So Mario Marbury is paying dividends for Connecticut and paying dividends for Chicago as well, in my opinion. Now let's go to Sunday. We had five games Sunday. It was a hectic Sunday, okay? The Connecticut Suns, they went home after beating the Mystics. They went home and defeated the Seattle Storm. I watched that game. Very competitive game, but I'll get into that in a bit. Minnesota Lynx take down the Chicago Sky in a close contested game. Indiana Fever went to Dallas and beat the Dallas Wings 193. Las Vegas A's continue to ride that way that they're on, and they took down the Phoenix Mercury 97-79. And then the Atlanta Dream went to Cali to take on the LA Sparks, and they downed it, the LA Sparks 80-62. Let's start with the first game on that docket, the Seattle Storm and the Connecticut Suns. It was an interesting game. It was a close game for a bit, and then the fourth quarter happened, and Seattle fell apart, and Connecticut picked up the pieces and ran with it. 26 points and 6 boards from Breonna Jones, which they needed. Alisa Thomas, I think them injuries that she suffered earlier in the season are starting to catch up with her because she has not been playing the same game. Plus, she did play for Team USA over in Paris. So she has played a lot of basketball season. She has played a lot of basketball this season. Plus, with the injuries to, I believe she have both rotator cuffs are injured, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm thinking them injuries are starting to catch up to her. I don't know what's going on, but the one on bottom, she only played 25 minutes on the game and 4 points. Not what I'm used to hearing or seeing from DeJuan Obama, but shall see it. Harris provided some good points. Carrington provided some good points and whatnot. Jewel Lord, 27 points. No biggie on that. Just wasn't enough. Gabby Williams, she's struggling. Gabby Williams has played a lot of basketball too. First, she was playing over in France, representing the national team over there in Paris. Now she came over to the WNBA. She's back with the Seattle Storm, and she's trying to find her rhythm. I don't think she can find it yet. She still got time to find it, but it's going to take a minute or two, but good win for the Connecticut Suns. Seattle Storm, you're in the playoffs, but you might want to start catching some doves on the way to the playoffs. Now, it was a close contested game between the Lynx and the Sky. Lynx came on top by 5. Nevertheless, the main takeaway from this is Angel Reese has set the record for most rebounds in a WNBA season. Okay, she has surpassed Sylvia Fowles from 2018 for the most rebounds in a single season. Not most rebounds by a rookie. Most rebounds ever in a season. Don't get it twisted. Yes, she's a rookie, but the record she broke is not a rookie record. It is the all-time season record for rebounding. She has broken that. She has over, well, she, I think she's like at 4-8 once the game is all said and done. And she still got 6 more games, like 8 more games left. So she's going to destroy that record. It's going to be interesting who can break that record behind her, because she's going to close into about 430 for rebounds in the season. She's going to close in about 430. But congratulations, Angel Reese. You accept the record for most rebounds in a single season. Got to give you props where props is due. And then we get to Dallas, Texas. Buddy, Miss Megan Price, the Queen of Hoops, is not watching, because Indiana walked in there and they came out victorious 193 over the Dallas Wings. Arike Ogunbowale, she had a record performance, 34 points, 9 three-pointers. That is a WNBA record. Well, she tied her record, her own record, by the way, with 9 three-pointers in that game and still came up short. Satu Sabli starting to find her rhythm back. Okay, 25 points, you know, still starting to find her rhythm back. But this backcourt here for Indiana is starting to light it up. Kelsey Mitchell, 36 points, 5 three-pointers, 6 boards, 3 assists. Shout out to Kelsey Mitchell. Kelsey Mitchell has been consistent since we returned from the Olympic break. She's been consistent. She's been putting the ball in the bucket. She's been doing her thing. My boy Dre, he like to call her a ball call, because once she gets the ball, she's ready to jack it up. It's pretty much what he's saying. Once she get the ball, she's already looking to score. She ain't looking at the defense. She ain't looking at who's open. As soon as she get the ball, she's looking to score. Man, it's all really good, because it's working good for her right now. She's been consistent. She's putting the ball in the bucket. She's scoring about 20 points since the Olympic break. But Caitlin Clark, 25 points, 5 three-pointers, 12 assists, 4 rebounds. Caitlin Clark is something else. Now, I weathered a lot of feathers in a certain Facebook group because I said Caitlin Clark is the most impactful player this season. And I stand by that because from what I have seen between Indiana, years past until now, it is a major difference in this Indiana team. Okay? First off, so we can go all the way back, and I got it on my phone here. Indiana won a championship in 2012, okay? 2012, they won a championship. They won the whole thing. They had a record of 22-12 back in 2012. Since then, since 2012, I'm going to give you the records every season. 2013, they were 16-18, okay? Ousted in the first round of the playoffs, or ousted in the second round of the playoffs. 2014, same record, 16-18. Early S in the playoffs again. 2015, 20-14. They reached the WNBA finals but lost. I believe they lost that to the Minnesota Lynx and Maya Moore. 2016, it was at 517-17. Ousted in the first round of the playoffs. Back then, it was like one game playoffs and stuff like that. If you lost the first game, you was out. 2017, 9-25. 2018, 6-28. 2019, 13-21. 2020, 6-16 in 2020. 2021, 6-26. 2022, 5-31. Last year, 13-27. This year, they are 17-16 with 8 games to go. This year, I'm going to call it now. They will reach 20 wins for the first time since 2015, Indiana. Why do you say that? Because I'm looking at their schedule here. Coming up tomorrow, they are playing the Los Angeles Sparks in Indiana. On Friday, they have the Minnesota Lynx come in for a visit, and they kind of had the Lynx on the ropes when they went to Minnesota. So Friday's game is going to be very interesting on Ion Television. At 7:30. By the way, the Sparks game is on CBS Sports Network. Sunday, they host the Atlanta Dream. With the Atlanta Dream fighting for a playoff spot with the Chicago Sky, even though Indiana has not clinched it, but I feel like they will clinch at some point in time. But then by the end of this week, I feel like they'll clinch. If not Sunday. Then you have back-to-back visits by the defending champions next week on the 11th of September and the 13th of September. Can you still win them games? Because that's probably the only team you haven't beaten yet. You beaten the New York Liberty. By the way, when you beat the New York Liberty, Caitlin Clark went for a triple-double, the first ever rookie triple-double. You beaten the Connecticut Sun, which I said, that might be the turning point for the Indiana field because you went physical. You matched physicality with the Connecticut Suns, and you was able to beat them. I don't know if you beat the Minnesota Lynx yet, but you have a chance on Friday. And then next week, back-to-back games with the champions, Las Vegas Aces, on the 11th, September 11th, 9-11. That's going to be a special day for the entire country. And then Friday, September 13th. Can you take one of them games? Can you take one? I'm asking you to take one from the champions. Can you take one? Then you host the Dallas Wings next Sunday, September 15th. And then you end the season in the nation's capital against the Washington Mystics. Sparks, Wings, and Washington, those three games, they put them at 20. In my book, they get 20 wins. Now, can they get 21 if they beat the Atlanta Dream? Can they get 22 if they can get a dub between Minnesota and Las Vegas? Those three games right there. This is a whole different team. And by the way, look how they played last year. They was not a up-paced, fast-tempo team last year with the Indiana Fever because they were centered around Leah Boston. Okay. Matter of fact, thank you, Kevin. The PFR, he says, they beat the Liberty, but Kyrie didn't play in that one. Thank you for letting me know. So you have beat the Minnesota Lynx. So now, either way, we talking 20, 21, maybe 22 wins for the Indiana Fever. The most wins that they had since, again, we talking what, 2015 when they went 20-14? The last time they won 22 games was in 2012. That was a championship year. The pace of play has changed with Indiana. Last year, there was not a fast-paced team. Kelsey Mitchell was on that team. Kelly Samuel Lou was on that team. But it was centered around Aaliyah Boston, who was the rookie of the year. You bring in Caitlin Clark, you trying to find a way to fit both Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston at the same time. So you still trying to play the style that you played last year, but it's not the style Caitlin Clark played in at Iowa. And then you had one of the toughest schedules because you came out the first four games, you had to play the Connecticut Suns and the New York Dibley right out the gate. And then your seven game in, you faced the defending champs in Vegas. So yeah, you was getting a lot of your tough games out the way at the beginning of the season. But now the schedule has lightened up. You had the Olympic break. Now you're playing a more fast up-tempo time. And you're third in the league at points per game. You're fourth in the league at assists per game. All of a sudden, things have changed. The impact of Caitlin Clark has changed the way Indiana plays. And it's to their benefit. By me saying Caitlin Clark is the most impactful player this season, it doesn't diminish what Kelsey Mitchell has done. She has been putting the ball in the bucket. She has been doing things like crazy this year. What was this last year? What was this the year before? This is Kelsey Mitchell's 7th year in the league. When you bring in Caitlin Clark, you unlock a lot of stuff for Indiana. Kelsey Mitchell is no longer facing the best defender from the other team, because that person is defending Caitlin Clark. So Kelsey Mitchell is getting the second best player defending on the team, which is usually not pretty good. And she can have her way with him. And then at the same time, you still trying to make sure Aaliyah Boston doesn't get off, because Aaliyah Boston get off along with Caitlin Clark, then you're really in trouble. So Aaliyah Boston is not put up the number that she put up last year. Alicia Smith, she's playing like Angel Reese, hustling for rebounds and getting second possessions all of a sudden, because now you're playing an up-tempo game. Everybody's not back, and when they do get back, they're not in a position like they're supposed to be. This Caitlin Clark has changed the way Indiana plays basketball, and it's to their benefit. That's what I mean by impact. Looking how you played previous years, when Caitlin Clark comes in now, it's a whole different team. This team doesn't play the same. This team is up and running. Push the pace. Beat the defense down the court. Get easy buckets. One pick and roll, and when you cut like crazy. Because Caitlin Clark's vision of the court is ridiculous. Because when people cut, you better cut hard, because Caitlin Clark is threading the needle in there. She has threaded the needle, and so me, I'm like, this girl can pass her behind off. This is amazing. So Caitlin Clark is doing her thing. She's the most impactful player that I have seen this year. I said impactful, not best. The best is AJ Wilson. I'm gonna get to her in a minute, because what she did this weekend. Hey, wait a minute. But I say impactful. She has changed the way Indiana plays basketball. And I did say I was gonna talk about Caitlin Clark. I'm talking about Angel Reese too, because these two rookies, Angel Reese from LSU, Caitlin Clark from Iowa. These are the milestones they set in their first year. They're not even through with their first season as WNBA stars yet. They're not even done yet. But Angel Reese, most consecutive double-doubles by any player with 15. First rookie with double-double in an All-Star game. Yes, in the All-Star game, Angel Reese had a double-double. Her 12.9 rebounds per game average is the most ever average in WNBA history. She's about to average 13. First player with 3 consecutive 20-plus rebounding games. We highlighted that, I think, about a week or two ago. We highlighted that. Her 26 rebounds are also a franchise best through such a span. First Sky player to begin their career with 3 straight double-digit scoring games. First rookie in Sky franchise history with 20 or more points and 15 or more rebounds in a game. Reese has 10-plus rebounds in 23 straight games, by far the longest streak in WNBA history, outdoing Kenneth Parker, who had 12 from 2009 to 2010. Passed Tarina Charles from 2010 for most rebounds by a rookie in WNBA history. And we just talked about her breaking the all-time record for rebounds in a season. Give Angel Reese her flowers, because there's still some of you out there who don't want to give her her flowers. Do you feel some type of way? Oh, most of her rebounds off her own misses, layups, and all this other stuff. Most of her rebounds is not off her misses. If I remember correctly, listen to Rebecca Lobo, who is the analyst for the WNBA and the ESPN. I think she said something like 35% of her rebounds are off her own misses. 35%? The woman has over 400 rebounds. Are you telling me only 35% of it? The way people have been talking, you'll think 50 to 60% of her rebounds came off her misses. That ain't even the case. That's not even the case. Like 35 to 40%. That's a big difference. Not even half of her total rebounds come off her misses. So I'm going to need y'all to make sure you do your research before you say such things. Because it's not true what y'all saying. No, once you watch, you do watch her miss layups and she get the rebounds off her miss layups. And it does happen multiple times. But it's not to the degree that y'all try to make it. And it's not. It really isn't. So make sure you do the calculation and make sure you do the research, okay? Now, Angel Reese, there you go, your flowers. Caitlin Clark. One of four WNBA players with 50-plus points and 15-plus rebounds in her first three career games. Milestone number one. First rookie and fourth player with 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks in a game. Second rookie with 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 three-pointers made in a game. First rookie with 15 points, 10 assists, and 5 three-pointers made in a game. Most assists in a single season for a rookie in Fever history. First rookie in WNBA history to record a triple-double against the New York Liberty. I just happened to watch that game, and I was disgusted. But, hey, congratulations, you made it happen, Caitlin Clark. First player in Indiana's franchise history to record a triple-double. So not only she did the first-ever rookie triple-double, that was the first-ever triple-double in Fever history. And we're talking a lot of history here, people. We're talking the Indiana Fever has been around since 2000. Indiana Fever has been around since 2000. And she's the first player of Indiana to ever have a triple-double. Let that sink in. First player in WNBA history with 29 points, 13 assists, 5 boards, 5 three-pointers made, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. I need to know what game that was, because 29, 13, 5 and 3? Good gracious. Only rookie with multiple games of 20-plus points and 10-plus assists. Second rookie to reach 200 assists in a season in WNBA history, so I say. WNBA rookie record, 4 games with 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. First rookie with 450 points and 200 assists in a season. All-time rookie assist record holder at 225. That's when she broke it. I'm pretty sure she's past that now. Most three-pointers made by a rookie in Fever history. Three-point rookie record holder in WNBA history. Most games with 10-plus assists in a rookie season. What more do I need to show y'all that Caitlin Clark is one of the most impactful players in the WNBA season? She's doing all this as a rookie. Indiana's about to win 20 games for the first time since 2015. They're going to be in the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Playing style is different. Coaching is different. It's a different thing. I don't know what to tell y'all, man. I really don't. But yes, I didn't say she was the best player in the WNBA. I say she's the most impactful player in the WNBA right now. I just gave you the statistics to back it up. Remember, I ain't even talking about the media coverage. I ain't even talking about the attendance. Okay, I ain't talking about none of that. I'm just talking about what she is doing on the court with the ball in her hand. That's Caitlin Clark. I didn't say she was the best player in the WNBA because that still belongs to this woman right here. Okay? Now, those of you who don't know, I am a wrestling fan, so I'm going to throw some wrestling terms in here. So since we got Queen Nia, who's the champion of SmackDown, the women's side, Queen Asia Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, against the Phoenix Mercury when they destroyed them. 41 points, 17 rebounds. That is the fourth career 40-point game that ties Breonna Stewart and Diana Taurasi for the most in WNBA history. She went for 40 on the Mercury. She went for 40. That's a seven game with 30-plus points and 10 rebounds. That passes Tina Charles back in 2021 when she had six for most in a single season. That was a seven. Okay, that was a seven. And knowing her, she might make it a 10. Okay, she might make it a 10 because the champs, they still got eight games to go. Two of them, which is against Indiana. And the way they've been playing against Indiana, Aaliyah Boston been getting her behind whooped by Asia Wilson. So she might do it again at least three more times, if not two. Now, in her career, that was her 72nd time having 20 points and 10 rebounds in a game. Asia Wilson's record recorded her 72 career 20-10 game, third most in WNBA history, behind Tina Charles, who has 99, Sylvia Fowles, who has 77. She surpassed Candace Parker and Lisa Leslie when they both tied for 71. Asia Wilson is at 72 right now. And if I remember correctly, this is her... Let me see, what year is it? I want to say this is like her fifth year in the league. She's still just getting started in the pro level. She's still just getting started. Like, she's only 28. Like, this girl here is going to surpass this record. She's going to dominate for time to come. She was picked first round pick in 2018. So this is her sixth season in the league. Her sixth. She's nowhere done. She's nowhere near done yet. That's why I said she's the best player in the league. No ifs, ands, or question about it. She will win MVP. Question is, will it be unanimous or not? It should go. Currently, Asia Wilson number one, Nafisha Carter number two. Number three, I might have to put Caitlin Clark number three if I'm being completely honest. I might have to put Caitlin Clark number three. But Nafisha Carter nor Caitlin Clark is nowhere close to Asia Wilson, so it should be a landslide. If it's not unanimous, it should be a blowout. Don't you people who have votes try to make it close between her and Caitlin Clark. Don't do that. Be objective, be honest. Nobody's catching Asia Wilson for MVP. Just like Angie Reese, she had a good run for it, but she's not catching Caitlin Clark for Rookie of the Year. Those two races are completely over, okay? Those races are done. So when it's time, you're going to hand Asia Wilson, the queen of the WNBA, her MVP trophy, and you're going to hand Caitlin Clark her Rookie of the Year trophy. And we're going to move on into the playoffs, all right? Speaking of which, five teams have officially clinched playoff spots. The New York Nibbly, the Connecticut Suns, the Minnesota Lynx, the Las Vegas Aces, and the Seattle Storm. Now, to me, Phoenix Mercury and the Indiana Field, they will be in. I don't see no big collapse from either one. So they will be in. What seed they'll get, we don't know yet. And fighting to get in are the remaining teams. You got Chicago currently holding on to that eighth and final spot tied with the Atlanta Dream. I think they have the head-to-head battle with the Atlanta Dream, so... that doesn't bode well for the Atlanta Dream. The Washington Misses and Dallas Wings, they are only two games behind them. And then two games behind them and four games behind Atlanta and Chicago is the Los Angeles Sparks. And just about every team still has 7 to 8 games left. So anything is possible still, surprisingly. Anything is still possible from 8 down to 12. And the way Chicago has been looking lately... It's been ugly. It's been real ugly. Like, Chicago has been, I think they 1-6 since the Olympic break. It's been bad in Chicago right now. My friend, let me pull up a schedule right now while I'm sitting here talking about it. Let me see. Can Chicago hold off the Atlanta Dream from the playoffs? So since the Olympic break, let's go to August. We return back from the Olympic break in mid-August. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They are 1-7 since the Olympic break. 1-7. That is not good. And you have a matchup with the champs in Vegas. The Sparks coming to visit you. We got Dallas visiting you, Washington visiting you. That's a good 3-game stretch. If you can win those 3 games, you put yourself in prime position. At Minnesota, you host Phoenix, and you at Atlanta. And I feel like depending on what the standings are between you and the Dream, that game could be the elimination game before you close it out at Connecticut. So with what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. With 8 games left, if you can win 3 to 4, if you're the Chicago, you can win 3 or 4, you might get in the playoffs. But let's look at the Atlanta Dream schedule. Because the Atlanta Dream, they came out after the Olympic break, they came out buzzing real quick. They won their first 3, then they dropped their next 4 before they beat the Sparks. So they are 4-4 since the break. Now they are tied. And when I look at it, the matchup, so they lost. They lost July 10th at Chicago. They lost July 2nd home to Chicago. So that's 2 for Chicago. They beat Chicago June 8th. So it's 2-1 Chicago right now. So, yeah, Chicago holds the head-to-head record right now. So that September 17th game is a very important game between the Sky and the Dream. So write that down, September 17th. If you're a Dream fan, if you're a Sky fan, that's the game that you want to circle on your calendar because that could be the elimination game right there. But for the rest of the schedule, the Dream are in Phoenix, hosting Dallas, at Indiana, hosting Minnesota, hosting Washington, at Washington, hosting Chicago, and then they finish it off against the New York Liberty in New York. So I just gave y'all a lot of information, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. And then we're going to close out the show with the games that's coming up this week. All right. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back to wrap everything up.
I love you, you morons. You kiss on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck. Matt Damon, go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how we become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the site, man, and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there seeing LA Knight. Oh, okay, man. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel. Join the Transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to wrap up here on Shooting Lights Out, give a shout out to 502 American Angel Radio, where you can listen to this very episode of Shooting Lights Out if you didn't catch it earlier. You can catch this on Fridays up there in Indiana. And also, shout out to my big brother, Wise A. Hefe, with the Real Rise Radio. This episode will be playing on Thursday on the Real Rise Radio Network. So those of you who listen to the Real Rise Radio Network, thank you for listening and thank you for supporting Shooting Lights Out and what you do, especially to those out there at 502 American Angel Radio as well. Those of you who want to play back this episode, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and wherever else you can find your podcasts at, you can find Shooting Lights Out at as well, okay? Now it's time to get out of here with the games that you need to look forward to. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we got four games on the docket tonight. Starting at 7 p.m., the Seattle Storm continue their East Coast road trip as they take on the Connecticut Suns at 8 p.m. Two teams that are still fighting for their playoff lives do battle down in Dallas, Texas, when the Dallas Rings host the Washington Mystics. Somebody's going to get that 10th win of the season. Would it be the Mystics or would it be the Wings? All right. NBA TV has your lone televised game, national televised game, should I say. When the Chicago Sky and Angel Reese take on Aja Wilson, the Queen Aja Wilson, and the Las Vegas Aces in Vegas. And also at 10, you have the Atlanta Dream, who is fighting for their playoff lives. They are in the desert to take on the Phoenix Mercury. Phoenix needs this. Both teams need this game. It's hard to say, but Phoenix has been shaky lately. So Phoenix needs this game just as much as Atlanta is trying to fight for their playoff lives. Phoenix need it because they need some confidence right about now. That's tonight. Tomorrow, we got one game on the docket. CBS Sports Network, where the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark hosts Rikita Jackson, the record hand being the Los Angeles Sparks. See how MC of Indiana do not play around with their proverbial food and do what they need to do and take care of business against the LA Sparks, or where LA catch them slipping because they are riding a high in over in Indiana and game is Frill House and they get caught slipping by the Sparks. And then Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, two games on the docket. I say Seattle continue the East Coast trip. First, they got Connecticut tonight, and then Thursday on Prime Video, 7 p.m., they take on the New York Liberty. Let's go, ladies. We are 27-6. I want to see if we can make it to 30. Can we get the 30 wins, ladies? Be nice to get 28 Thursday night. All right. And then after that, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Amazon Prime, the Washington Mystics, they take on the Phoenix Mercury. So if Phoenix can handle business, they can find themselves on a two-game winning streak, which is going to build them some confidence, while against two teams that are fighting for playoffs in the Atlanta Dream and the Washington Mystics. So should be some interesting games to watch going up to this as we get ready to lead into the weekend of the NFL, shall we? Okay. So with all that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for tuning in to Shooting Lights Out on today. Hopefully, everything will be back normal. I'll be back here next Monday to recap the weekend that was in the WNBA and update you on the playoff standings and where we are at in the playoffs and how many more records Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark can break and how more dominant Aja Wilson can be in the WNBA season, because those have been the main three topics this whole entire season. You can't blame them for it. Other than that, thank y'all for tuning in. If y'all want to show support in the other shows that I do tomorrow, catch me doing Bearing Down the Gridiron recap in week one of the college football season. There's some big takeaways, including some teams in Florida that's not doing good. Not doing good at all. And then Thursday, it'll be Rambling Talk, the final of the season preview, as week one is right around the corner, as the Los Angeles Rams will be taking on the Detroit Lions Sunday night football. All right. Thank y'all. Love y'all. Hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook. If you're watching live on the Facebook page, go ahead and follow that page, the Playmakers Bar page. And I will catch y'all next week for more basketball talk when it comes down to it. With Shun, lights out. Have a good one.
You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting Lights Out.